The Board of Supervisors will reconvene, and we are at item 11, public hearings. We will start with item 11A. This is the budget hearing for the final budget hearing. Final budget, I guess I should call it. And for budget purposes only, the Board of Supervisors will be conducting business as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. District Board, the Siskiyou County Power Authority, County Service Area 3 Board, County Service Area 4 Board, County Service Area 5 Board, Airport Land Use Commission, and the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, as well as the board itself, the Board of Supervisors. Is that correct? Did I miss any entity out there? And for those of you that don't know what County Service Area 5 is, that's Carrick, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyway, we'll begin with, I guess, staff report.
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors.
Good morning.
Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer for the County of Siskiyou. I am here today to present our 2024-2025 adopted budget and address some key considerations as we move into the new fiscal year. The adopted budget presented to you today totals $450,912,906. The adopted budget presented today is increased approximately $28.3 million over the recommended budget. And I know that seems like a big number, but I want you to keep in mind that this includes revenues and expenditures. So it's numbers combined between general and non-general fund. In general fund, we saw an increase of $7.4 million in revenues and about a $1 million increase in expenditures from recommended. The $7.4 million was one-time funding that the county received in July and August, so we will not be expecting that again in future years. The increase in expenditures was due to salary adjustments, wage increases, bargaining unit increases, that sort of thing. There were some minor operating expense increases, but we were pretty diligent this year in what we did and did not approve in the adopted budget for general fund, just to make sure that we are trying to keep things cost neutral, be conservative, be mindful of our spending. A significant portion of the budget increase, which is about more than half of the total, was due to encumbrance rollovers. So we had about $15 million in encumbrance rollovers in non-general fund and $1 million rollover in the general fund. So these are going to be funds that are obligated but not yet spent, so think contracts, purchase orders, that kind of thing. They have to be included in our budget calculation in the event that the funds are expended this year. We have to be sure that we have sufficient funds in place to cover those obligations. The auditor's office does reach out to departments at the beginning of every year to check on encumbrances and see which ones should be closed, which ones should be rolled over. And I acknowledge that this is just a significant sum that was rolled over. So there might be an opportunity here to enhance our processes, to ensure better coordination with departments, to make sure that we're managing those encumbrances and we're freeing up funds that there's no longer need to be obligated. Overall, the adopted budget aligns pretty closely with what I was expecting. We began the year with a slightly higher fund balance rollover than initially anticipated, which was encouraging. However, as we've discussed before, balancing the budget is becoming increasingly challenging, due to the rising cost of business and just the cost of the county. So to address these challenges, and I have mentioned this before, but it's crucial that we continue to explore cost reduction strategies. So, you know, are there services that we're contracting out right now that we could do in-house that would be more cost-effective? Staff that are involved in the contract approval process could, you know, review contracts closely for cost-effectiveness and necessity. And then again, you know, we continue to evaluate our current fee structures for services, permits, and licensing to ensure that they're covering the full cost of the services that the county is providing to the public. We have been actively discussing these strategies with our departments, and we've already seen the initial effort from departments in their efforts to keep costs down, as evidenced by our recommended budget. Departments really went the extra mile to keep their costs neutral. So, again, I want to express my gratitude to all the departments for their diligence and their cooperation in trying to keep their costs down. And while we present a balanced budget to you today, it is clear that our continued reliance on one-time funds is not a viable strategy. So the general fund is balanced with one-time funds for fiscal year 24-25. So I encourage the board and departments to continue collaborating closely as we navigate these challenges. I think we all have a vested interest in maintaining a healthy budget for the county. I will continue to work with staff in exploring cost-saving opportunities and seeking new revenue sources so we can help ensure the fiscal health of the county and our continued success. And additionally, I welcome any input or suggestions on how we can further enhance our budgetary practices. I genuinely enjoy the budget process. I think it's fun, as crazy as you might think I am for saying that, but I do enjoy it, and I look forward to working together towards the county's future goals. So with that, I will turn it over to you for questions, comments, or concerns.
So before I go there, this is staff report, council. Are we okay to ask questions at this juncture, or do we wait till it comes back to the board?
I don't think it would be a problem to ask questions,
okay.
But if you'd like to just go through, you know, step by step,
okay.
That's fine too.
All right, let's do that first, if that's all right, with the rest of the board members, and just stay right there. How's that? Presentation of correspondence.
None received at the clerk's office.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies.
I have one item.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one ask today, small one. I have an employee working in Tule Lake that was approved for a raise in April and did not receive it, has not received it yet, and is going to get approved with this budget going forward. He's also set to get a bump and another raise at this point in time also. This gentleman works in Tule Lake. He runs the Bureau of Reclamation U.S. Fish and Wildlife contract for the pesticide use program. He has a contract that pays his wages. He also does pesticide use work in my office, which subsidizes his wage with unfunded gas tax revenues. And I'm asking if the board would approve his raise back in April as a retroactive raise going forward. The gentleman works 7 days a week and does a wonderful job. He's earned the trust of the growers in Tule Lake, especially in the lease lands. That's a big, big job out there. He works 7 days a week during the growing season to do that. We recently hired, or were able to hire, a third person in Tule Lake, which may reduce that requirement some. But it seems only fair, since his increase was approved in April, to give it to him. So I'm asking the board for some consideration, understand our limits as far as funding. But in this case, this gentleman also protects $300,000 to $400,000 of tax revenue that comes into the county every year off of the lease lands. I think it's only fair to reward the people working on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other presentation of reports by staff of other county departments or public agencies? Seeing none. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Seeing none. In-house, any online? Opponents, arguments, and or evidence? Anyone in-house? Seeing none, any online?
None online.
Seeing none online, public comment. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None online.
None online. So there's no rebuttal by proponents or opponents. So now, go ahead.
So yeah, the Natalie Reed County Council, I would keep the public hearing open to ask your questions.
Okay, that's where I was going next. So we'll start now with any questions for Ms. Lawson. Can you go ahead, Supervisor Howell?
Looking at Section 9, contribution to others.
Mm-hmm.
I think I asked this question every year, and I can't remember what the answer is going to give me.
Okay.
I don't see the AFRC contribution on there for the annual.
So I don't believe that as a contribution to other. It is in the board budget under memberships.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. So back to
your sure. I know that when we do contributions to other, so I, you know, to me in my mind it's libraries, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've cut that pretty significantly over the last couple of years. One of the things that comes up for me, I think I ask routinely, is about how many employees we have. I think so when Cobb, you and I were here in the Great Recession where we cut 20% of the workforce, I don't think we've ever recovered from that, quite honestly. So I'm just wondering where we are from it. Because to me, employees is providing services in the county, throughout the county family, to all the services that are required. Where are we from a standpoint of employment basis?
How many employees the county currently has?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. We're around the 800 approximate range. Of course, we have extra help and seasonal workers as well. And you're correct, we have not recovered from that loss. However, we are doing our very best to maintain the status that we have right now. And I will say that with the current recruitments that we have in play, that it's very promising because our candidate pool has exponentially grown. So there are folks that are seeking employment, whereas for a time there, we did not have the candidate pool. So I'm gonna say things are looking up, but as these items come to the board for allocations for positions, that's what is being requested, are additional allocations.
But that employment pool is just a stagnant number. It's not like we're trying to increase from 800 to 900 employees.
Oh, correct.
Yeah, we're
correct.
Just trying to maintain services.
No, that's what I was saying, yes.
And then just as a general comment, you know, I know one of the things we talk, and I think every budget year we get one-time money, or we just seem to chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will say I'm grateful that we got that ARPA money, that, you know, we would not have replaced a roof. We would not have done significant improvements to decaying infrastructure that we have throughout the county. So that to me is when you talk about one-time funds, that's what I'm looking at. Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thank you. I'll have kind of a question, comment, responding with Valenzuela was that I wrote down. And this, 10 of this question is put a smile on your face. How many layoffs have you proposed for this budget?
Zero.
Yeah. And I think that that says a lot when we have the layoffs and all those sorts of things, where we want to have quality employees. The main factor they have is job security. If I get this job, am I going to have it 5-10 years from now? And so when I look at the thing I'm really proud of over the last several years is we haven't done hire a bunch, fire a bunch, hire a bunch, fire a bunch. But there's been consistency in regards to retaining and having those, and I think that probably has a factor what the CEO said, increasing the pull is the people realize there's going to be a job after when they apply for it.
Absolutely. Our employees are our most valuable resource, so layoffs are not something that we ever want to talk about or consider.
Yeah. And I know we've given some raises and you know, different departments and whatnot. The other question I have is what Mr. Smith brought up. It's in my district, utility area. So my question follow-up to that is the pay retroactive in those sorts of factors.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I would request of the board that I am able to go back and research this item that he brought forward. I was not aware of the item. I was not told about it prior to this meeting, nor was our deputy CAO personnel was also not notified. I've been in communication with her during this meeting. So we do need to do some research. And we will always make sure that our employees are taken care of. So, but I also want to make sure that I understand the details before we bring it back to the board to have your consideration with the full picture.
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
If that's okay with
you. No, I was going to touch on that to see where you wanted to go that, because it is a personnel matter, and I it's to me it should be done some brought forward once it's been researched.
Absolutely.
So that we are just not flying by the seat of our pants,
correct,
so to speak. So.
And I thank you for that.
Okay. Supervisor Ogren.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all your hard work and diligence on this. This is a huge undertaking, and You always do it with a smile on your face.
She does.
Smile through it, you know?
You seem to enjoy it, which baffles
me. I do. I enjoy the challenge.
And, you know, I appreciate your ability to work with the auditor's office and every other department and be able to get blood from the turnip all the time. You just always seem to pull it out of everybody, and that it's a beautiful thing. I do have kind of a procedural question after looking at all of this. In Section 3 of this report, I keep finding line items that seem to have sort of stagnant numbers with really small balances. And I'm wondering if these are items that don't have any action ever and can go away, or things that we keep seeing over and over again where we just aren't using these funds.
Yeah.
And they can disappear at some point. Mm-hmm. Is this a maintenance issue that we can address?
Yeah. So that's a great question, and I appreciate that you bring that up, because that is something for the last 2 years that I have been really trying to get departments to pay attention to, is closing those funds. So yes, you're correct. We have a lot of funds out there that are stagnant, that have a small fund balance that accrue a little bit of interest, but there's nothing going on, whether it's a grant that it hasn't been reconciled and needs to be closed, the grant's over, hasn't been reconciled, and it's just sitting there. I know there's a lot of CDBG cleanup that needs to happen. So to directly answer your question, yes, there are some cleanup items that need to happen here. I have monthly meetings with the fiscal staff of the county where I can address this issue. We're having another meeting at the end of this month, so I will address that issue. And then again, with the support of the auditor's office, because that is one of their core functions, is to manage these funds. So to get their staff involved in pushing that to departments and really working with departments to get those funds to close, because it would clean this list up, and it would probably shorten it to 3 pages instead of 5. And I'm sure our assistant auditor controller would appreciate not having to allocate interest across 200 and some odd funds when it's not necessary.
Well, and then those funds could be used in other places, and
yep, absolutely.
None of us would have to look at a big report. It would shrink just a little bit.
Absolutely.
It would be good for all of us.
And I will make that a goal this year and hopefully come back recommended and report on how many funds that we were able to reconcile and close, because that is something I would like to see happen with this budget as well.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Yeah, just one general question, just for public record. Non-general fund, general fund, dollar figures for the general fund, which of course goes to sheriff and those sorts of things. It's just so you can say what it is.
Oh, so total for each?
Sure.
Fund,
yeah.
So for non-general fund, revenues totaled $151,010,390. Expenditures in non-general fund appropriations totaled $173,951,424. In the general fund, we are projecting revenues of $55,221,852 and appropriations of $54,813,355.
I just brought that up. Of course, there's rules and things we have to follow for general fund and non-general fund. Some states, they provide the services all the way through. Mm-hmm. You know, contracted counties. I'll use the word contracted counties here widely, but some states, they provide the services all the way down to the client, where for California, we provide the services in contract.
Yep.
Use that product. Thank you.
Supervisor Howe.
I really appreciate somebody that loves budget. We gotta have a conversation about that later. I do have a comment, not a criticism, but something I really need in this when it's presented. I went to Section 4 looking at the general fund analysis, and I see a lot of numbers. And I'm not working at the 500-foot level. I'm at, you know, the 40,000-foot level here. What would really help me is other departments compare to last year?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And because I'm more interested in trends to strategically look at where the county's going or not going. And then within the general fund balance, the percentage of the funds by department would help me a great deal. We used to have pie charts or something in here.
Yeah, so we include pie charts in that kind of analysis with recommended, not comparative fiscal years, but that is certainly something that we can have. That's easy.
I'd really appreciate
sure.
that.
Sure.
Because if the numbers, those numbers are pretty cool. I'm not an auditor, so.
Absolutely. And I'm hopeful moving forward, we're in the discovery phase of potentially implementing a new ERP system. So, the budget process may change when we start modernizing some of our processes. So,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just a quick comment.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Just a little comment on your smile on your face. I think it's the relief. It's a relief because I know in the beginning. And remind the crowd where we were as far as trying to come up with millions of dollars in the beginning.
In the beginning?
Yeah.
Preliminary.
It was a little scary. And you as the board experienced the pain, and departments experienced the pain, and we had to shift our strategies, as you're aware. We're not funding vacant positions right now. And so that helped reduce a lot of the deficit, and then as you're aware, a 5% reduction in budgets, which all the departments general fund experienced this year, and we whittled away and as much as we could, and then again had to balance with one-time funds. So
I think that's the key point, that we asked for a reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't increasing, and I really and I'm going to smile because for me it's a sense of relief we're going through this. I have peers in other counties that they did have to make cuts.
Yeah, yes.
They were not able to make
mm-hmm.
their target, whatever that was.
Yeah.
So thank you for
that. Yeah, and we're fortunate that we have this one-time funds to rely on, but that's not a viable long-term.
No, it's not.
And we're strategizing. We have conversations almost daily about how we can improve our processes and where we can have cost savings and how we can generate more revenue. So it's a constant conversation, and it's something that we're always developing. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
So back in 2008-ish, our general fund budget was around $33 million. So we've grown exponentially, some $22 million over the last 18 or so years, 15 or so, which is interesting because it hasn't felt like it. I'll put it that way. And I know a lot of that it has to do with health insurance, retirement, and wages is probably the driving factor that we need to keep up with the times. So I get that. And I think back then in 2008, Supervisor Valenzuela, we had around 960 employees. And we took it down to about 650 or
yeah.
so. So we have been growing back.
Mm-hmm.
So just, for whatever that's worth. One of the things that we had done in the past with regard to the small item stuff, I thought we had granted policy or authorization to the auditor with regard to, they used to bring a blanket of, let's clean these up, and we just approve it. So you might look at that. I don't know where that's at now, but because it used to be a reoccurrence, and it sounds like it's coming back, but...
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, we did give authority to help clean that up. With regard to amended budgets, a concern of mine has been, for instance, a department, maybe their budget was $500,000, but something occurred during that fiscal year where they needed an increase of another $100,000. That used to be rolled over into the following year when it became for a budget request. But in my mind, the budget request should not include that amended budget. Are we dealing with that still, or is it more or less a rollover of whatever their budget ended up being with the amendment going forward? Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
It grows the budget kind of on the sideline. It was an expenditure that had to be made. But it shouldn't be part of the budget going forward, if that makes sense.
It does. Angela Davis, County Administrator. We have really focused on trying to get the county to a real-time budget, real-time salary and benefits. And so if, you, like you said, if somebody has a $500,000 budget, something happens and they need $100,000, of course, we are going to do everything we can to allow that $100,000.
Right.
And what you're asking then is that the next year, since that was just an emergency, one-time situation, that $100,000, their next year budget is now not $600,000,
right.
Correct?
Right.
And so during the budget hearings, during the time of a department presenting a situation that they're facing an emergency, we do everything we possibly can to cover that. However, again, through the budget hearings process, that's when we do look through and say, well, wait a minute, you know, that situation was taken care of, and so it's not a rollover. Unless, like the encumbrances,
right.
If something, an obligation was not met fully, it's carried over to the next year. So that can also.
Gotcha.
But we do keep our eye on it.
Okay.
It is being
right.
watched.
We do, and adding to what Angela just said, there are line items within every budget that are pretty routine, you know, communications, utilities, that kind of things. And where you're talking those one-time expenses, we're going to see those in the professional services or contributions to other. And when departments turn in their initial requests, they detail those expenses. And so we really look closely to see, you know, this is a contract. So just more to Angela's point, we pay attention to that. So really try our best to make sure that we're only budgeting what the department needs to survive the year.
Thank you. Council, Mr. Smith, I think, had a comment, and since it's at the board level, I'm trying to figure out, can I open that back up to him or not?
I don't believe we've closed the hearing yet.
So I
can. So if you want to allow
okay.
them to
Mr.
make
Smith,
comments.
So before you say something, it sounds like we're going to be working on your request.
That's fine. I'd like to publicly apologize for not contacting you directly.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Embarrass you.
No, you
thank
didn't
you.
Embarrass me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So we will close the hearing at this juncture and bring it back to the board for any further discussion and action is what I guess I'm looking for. Because I think we've discussed your concerns.
So move to approve?
The recommended motion?
Recommended motion.
That's all four bullet points on the recommended motion, correct?
Correct, yes.
Thank you.
I'll second. Go ahead, Supervisor Valenzuela, I'll second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheriff.
11B, Community Development Planning Division, public hearing to consider two resolutions, one approving an amendment to the existing act. Preserve and one approving decision re-entering existing Williamson Act contract application APA-24-06. Good morning.
Mr. Chair, for items B, C, and D, I'll be refusing.
Okay.
Do I need to say it again?
You can for the
okay. Yeah, just a letter from that PPC saying to refuse myself from Williamson.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Make sure I'm on the right one here. Okay, so Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. So the property owner has proposed to rescind their property from the existing Williamson Act contract, which currently has two different property owners, and to create a contract consisting solely of property under their ownership. The entire contract is currently under non-renewal as issued by the county upon the property owners on October 14th, 2021. At the time of the notice of non-renewal issue, it was the policy of the county to issue a notice for the entire contract when any one property was in non-compliance. According to the records, no compliance issues were noted as to this particular piece of property. The property site is located near the community of Big Springs on A12 and Harry Cash Road. The proposed primary commercial ag use is intensive farming of hay production. This is a change from the approved use in the current contract of livestock grazing. Staff recommends amending the existing preserve to remove this property, rescind the subject property from the existing contract, create an individual ag preserve and corresponding contract consisting only of the Grisette property. Staff also recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt resolutions approving the rescission of the applicant's property and re-entry of the new Williams Knapp contract and amendment to the ag preserve.
Okay, presentation of correspondence.
The only thing we received was one of our public hearing notification letters. Wang Zhu Zhang. It came back as undeliverable.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Seeing none. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Seeing none in-house. Any online?
None online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None online.
Public comment. In-house. Seeing none. Online?
None online.
There's no rebuttal by proponents or opponents. There were none there. And we will close the hearing and bring it back to the board. Any questions from the board? If not, looking for action. I'll make the recommended motion.
Still looking.
Okay.
Question while somebody else is waiting for a second. When it goes from one use to another, like from cattle to hay, does that require amending the contract altogether, or is it just something that's permissible?
Yes. So the way the current guidelines are written, it comes to the board for a change in use.
Okay.
So if it's a that big of a change, if they were going from intensive farming from one crop to another, it wouldn't be considered a significant change, and so they could do that under their contract, but from grazing to intensive farming is significant. But in the guidelines update, we do have that proposed to go through the Ag Preserve Administrator for those types of changes.
To clean it up. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll talk about that later.
Yes.
That's my question. Is there anything in the contract itself? In terms of water use?
No.
I will second.
I have a second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
Okay. And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
We're at item 11C, Community Development Plan Division, public hearing for two resolutions, for amendment to an existing ag preserve, and one approving rescission and reentry of the Williamson Act under application APA 2404. Staff report.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. The county received a boundary line adjustment application which proposes to transfer approximately 48.66 acres between three parcels, two owned by the Barneses and the other by Mr. Johnson. Because the property is within Ag Preserve and encumbered by different Williams Knapp contracts, the preserves and contracts must be amended to address the proposed boundary line adjustment. Additionally, it was found that if the property subject to the proposed boundary line adjustment was removed from the existing contract, some of those contracts would no longer meet minimum requirements. The property owners were then notified of this issue, and they did modify their application to include the additional property to remedy this issue. Mr. Johnson also owns two parcels that are substandard in size at 1 acre and one at 3.2 acres. Mr. Johnson opted not to apply for a boundary line adjustment to merge or adjust the property boundaries to meet acreage requirements at this time. Staff has explained that we will recommend the board issue a notice of non-renewal for the substandard parcels. However, he may, at any point during the non-renewal process, apply for a boundary line adjustment and an ag preserve amendment to meet parcel size requirements and amend to take his property out of the non-renewal process. In order to accomplish the BLA boundary line adjustment, staff would recommend to first rescind the proposed property from the existing Williams Net contracts, amend the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property, create a new ag preserve, and create two Williams Net contracts, one for each property owner, which now reflect the proposed configuration of the resultant parcels. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt the resolution approving the rescission of the applicant's property and re-entry of the new Williams Net contract. Thank you.
Okay, presentation of correspondence.
There was no correspondence for this one.
Okay, presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Seeing none, opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none, anyone online?
None online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none, online?
None online.
Public comment, in-house. Seeing none online?
None online.
Seeing none online, so there's no rebuttal by proponents or opponents, and we'll close the hearing and bring it back to the board. Go ahead, Supervisor Howe.
If Mr. Johnson does pursue the VLA, then he can bring this back. And
yeah, the two small parcels, yeah. If he does it under VLA at a later time.
Which Johnson is this?
Roy.
Oh, Roy.
Okay. Right. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
This isn't, so when they, to me, the small parcels, like, there's probably a cost factor for him to do that if he wanted to do it. Like, so he's probably got a way to the value of doing it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he said he was going to speak with the assessor's office to get that information.
Okay, thank you.
So I have a motion.
I'll second.
And I have a second.
I believe you're also doing some other type of activity.
I also had a quick question.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it in your presentation, but there's that third resolution, which is the non-renewal, correct?
Right. Yes, there is.
So the recommended motion includes three resolutions.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So all four, correct?
Yeah, all four
okay.
points on the recommended motion. Okay, all right.
Okay.
Supervisor Howe?
All right.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris. Or Supervisor Kopseff, sorry.
Aye. All right.
There we go.
So we are at 11D. And this is a public hearing to consider adoption of revised rules for establishment and administration of the county Ag Preserve and Williams Net contracts.
All right. So again, Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. So this hearing was rescheduled from September 3rd.
Yes.
So anyhow, we were hoping, we put it out on social media that this was happening. We were hoping to get some comments. I did not receive any, unfortunately. We were hoping our Williams Net community would give us some ideas and suggestions on the changes that we had discussed previously.
Nothing from Farm Bureau?
Nothing.
Okay.
No comments.
Okay.
Or questions.
I think that's telling to me.
So we tried a new method. We tried the Facebook route, and so not successful. But anyway, moving on. So to discuss, I just wanted to go over what we had discussed last time and kind of address a few questions that you had. First, we had talked about disestablishing all the current ag preserves that are out there, bits and pieces here and there that we keep track of. They're each under a board resolution, so over time those have changed, but we would like to disestablish all those and just create one ag preserve that consists of any property that is only under a current Williams Net contract. So any old properties that are in an ag preserve would not be brought back into the program by right. That would take that away, and it would also clean up our records. So there's that. Also, by doing this, the requirements that we have to establish an ag preserve do have soils requirements, and so those would be transferred over to a requirement for a contract now. So that's pretty important because it is saying that there has to be at least 40 acres of what we would kind of generally call prime ag soil. We use the Web Soil Survey, USDA, to determine that. So it would be something to consider. Some properties would need to be significantly larger to meet that requirement. The 40 acres would not be rule of thumb for a contract anymore. Let's see here. Number two, we talked about what is a significant increase to the Williams Snack contract. Previously, the board had said that they would like us to clarify that. So we are doing that. We are suggesting a 25-acre increase be considered significant, or 2.5%, and we're talking about the existing contract area, and that anything that's larger than that would be considered by the Ag Preserve Administrator and the board on a case-by-case basis. Number three, we talked about removing the primary ag use of growing and harvesting of timber. There's an option for property owners that is the use of their land to rezone to timber production zoning and not have to pay Williams Snack cancellation fees. Let's see here, moving on. We talked about removing and revising the commercial ag uses section. We wanted to take out anything talking about accessory uses, being as they are not a primary ag use. It's just cleaning up the language there, kind of better defining fiber production, and again, removing the growing and harvesting of timber. Number five, we talked about removing agritourism because it's not defined in our county code, so we felt it's best to not use that language in our Williams Snack guidelines. We are gonna add vacation rentals under residential uses that are allowed. Number seven, we talked about, like, we wanted to clarify what the responsibility of the owner to provide conservation easement information on their property. This is not something that the planning division is automatically notified about, so it is up to the property owners to provide that to us. There wouldn't be a way for us to find out about that unless they were forthcoming with that information, as we want to make it very clear that we want to review those before they get into those easements. Number eight, this is what we talked about earlier, about a minor amendment option where the Ag Preserve Administrator may approve changes in use as a minor contract amendment, which would allow us to calculate fees at 50% for that. And then we wanted to include a process for withdrawal of a notice of non-renewal. So if someone's, we've initiated the non-renewal process, but someone comes back into compliance, what we would like to better clarify what they would need to do to get out of that non-renewal process. Some things that we are not recommending be included are what we discussed as far as using or offering for applicants to provide their own proof of legal parcel in lieu of a title report. We talked about staff being the resource to acquire that information, and if staff time, it would be difficult to be able to do that title research. And if we charged at an hourly rate, I've included that in the report, that we average our planning staff rate at $99 an hour, so I don't think there would be a cost savings there much for the applicants. And then also was discussed if there would be some sort of liability on us for providing the information if it wasn't complete, so we don't have a guarantee like a title company does. The last thing we talked about was the discussion about substandard parcels. If we wanted to allow them, if they were already under contract, to remain on a case-by-case basis, and it sounded like most everyone believes that we should have set requirements. They have to meet those requirements and not have it open-ended like that. So we suggest taking that out. At this time, we would like to recommend that we continue the public hearing to a further date so I can implement all the changes that we've discussed if you direct me to do so, and bring a clean copy to the board for approval.
Okay. Presentation of correspondence.
Nothing at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Anyone in-house? Mr. Smith, anything on this?
Support the process as requested.
Thank you. Anyone online?
Not online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None online.
Public comment. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
None online.
So there's no rebuttal by proponents or opponents. I can close the hearing. We're going to continue the hearing, I heard.
Please,
so,
yes.
But as you continue that, we'll bring it back for some input from the board, if that's all right.
Please.
Okay. Anyone? Supervisor Howell?
Thank you. I'm going to draw some attention on the soil survey. Do you know when the last time that was updated? Or is that the same one from the 50s?
The USDA Web Soil Survey, Jim might know better than I do, but we were shut down for a while, for a couple days to be able to use it while they were doing those updates, but I don't know when they do those updates, if it's specific to a certain area or a complete program, so I can't believe.
She's correct. It gets updated periodically. It's not the 50s soil maps that you're concerned about. These are updated information, taking into consideration a lot of the upgrades in technology. So they're fairly accurate.
And the reason I bring it up is the most frequent thing I think that comes up with BLAs and particularly Scott Valley, whether or not we're commensurate with the Scott Valley area plan, the soil survey isn't refined enough to be able to use at the field level. And especially with the more limited water use and the water restriction, for irrigation, a lot of the Ag 1 land is no longer Ag 1 because there's too much cobble in it. And I just see that it's problematic. I don't know if there's a cure for it, but it seems to be, you know, it's a major deciding factor in the way of Sonatic, but it's not real accurate to be able to make really good decisions.
So when we use the soil data, it provides if the soil rating, if it's irrigated or non-irrigated also.
No.
So a lot of the times you'll see my charts and my staff reports will clarify, like if a portion of the property is irrigated, it's given like a higher value in our calculation. So yes, it will definitely, if someone's not irrigating their property anymore and it has you know, not great soils, it's going to be rated at a lower rate.
Yeah, and some of it's not feasible because the
right.
amount of water you have to put in on is just not financially viable.
And we're hoping that those property owners will, you know, find an alternate ag.
Well, I'm just looking at some way to uncomplicate the planning commission's process of having to re-describe lands, especially in Scott Valley, where some of those lands might be used for better use because of the highly restricted Scott Valley area plan. I'm not saying open the plan, but I'm just saying that it's an issue I deal with all the time over there, and it's a major topic of discussion. I don't really have a remedy for it. I just want to bring it to your attention. Page 10, B talks about timber.
Page 10, there's the one that we have is a little different.
The red line version. Red line version.
Is it compatible uses, B, under that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Number, where it talks about timber. You notice that it says,
number one?
Growing and harvesting timber?
Yeah. It says growing and harvesting of timber is a compatible use, but what about the processing and noise?
So normally in the ag zoning, it's not going to be allowed.
Even if it's generated on site?
Correct. So even in TBZ, to do having processing facilities requires a use permit. So,
okay.
I mean, it's not something that's addressed because it probably wouldn't be allowed anyway.
Okay, is that in our rules that we make or is that in the state?
County zoning code.
Okay, all right. On page 11, number 11, same compatible uses. I just find it curious these days that we continue to say horses raised or maintained primarily for ranching work. How would you know?
It would be
Yeah,
so the state of California has a equine industrial policy. So basically, if the primary use of the property is for horses, there has to be income, not just a commercial element to it, but they actually have to show that they're making a profit off of it.
I understand. My point is, if I have ranch horses and I breed horses and I sell horses, there's no guarantee that they're going into ranch work.
Yeah, so
that's what this implies.
That's why, so it wouldn't be considered compatible for someone to just have someone's horses on their property. It'd be taking away from the commercial element.
I think you're understanding what I'm saying. There's no guarantee that if I breed a horse, whoever buys it is going to use it for ranch work. And it says maintain horses raised or maintained primarily for ranching work. The horses that are bred aren't necessarily breeding ranch horses.
Okay, so if someone were to, for instance, come to us and say that they have X amount of acres dedicated to raising these horses for whatever use, and they weren't part of their, like, let's say they didn't have livestock, they didn't use them to gather their cattle, they didn't use them for that, they would have to then go down to the number 14 where it says other uses proposed by an owner to be found compatible, so they would have to apply, write a statement saying it was not displacing their ag use. It wouldn't be allowed by right. If their horses were part of their ag production, it'd be allowed by right. Otherwise, they have to get a determination made that it's not taking away from their ag use.
Okay. I know this makes sense to I'm just trying to uncomplicate things that we can't even enforce.
Yeah, it was discussed to have more compatible uses defined, which would basically, it's on the list, but our list could be 20 miles long if we did, you know, which things are considered compatible with ag uses. So that kind of gave us that caveat there on 14 to be able to make those determinations.
And I won't believe it. No, we'll have a sidebar later on. Page 12, number 15, can you explain the difference between vacation rentals, which are allowed, and accessory dwellings that are not?
So California government code does not allow short-term rental use of an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit.
But isn't a vacation rental a short-term rental, which you are allowing?
A vacation rental is allowed in the primary home on the property. It wouldn't be allowed in like a secondary granny unit or.
Okay.
That's what that's.
It wasn't clear. And then on conservation easements, is there a requirement? I didn't see one that when there is a conservation easement signed by a landowner that we are notified of that, because there's normally a deed change with a conservation easement, and it would seem appropriate that we be legally notified of that because it could be a change in Williams County.
So yeah, their property owners are, it does say in here that they are to let us know. They're supposed to have it reviewed by us before they enter into it. If they don't, or they already have entered into it. When we do our surveys, it's a question on there. So every 2 years we send out our survey and we ask about that. If they do note that there is a conservation easement, we reach out to them and get a copy of it. I believe 2 years ago, I think I reviewed five that we'd never seen before. They all allowed for ag uses on the property.
Is there something in the contract requiring us to be notified other than us picking it up in a review?
I don't know. In the contract itself, is there a language for that?
That's what I was looking for. Something that was legally binding rather than somebody's opinion.
So as a follow-up to what Supervisor Howe is asking, to me, I guess, there's got to be a connection between the recorder's office and your office, or your department, with regard to a change of ownership. If we're going to depend on the owner coming forward, that to me opens up a bureaucracy of, well, you should have told us. But yet on the exchange or the sale, it goes through a title company, comes through the recorder's office, that should automatically come to your department as well, so that you can follow up on that, because most people are going to have no clue of, hey, I have to contact the county.
Yeah, it could be picked up in our annual survey that goes out.
Well, I'm just saying there should be a nexus with the title company once it's recorded here at the county recorder's office.
I don't know how that works with the recorder's office notifying.
Yeah, but like the building department, when somebody takes out a permit, you trigger the assessor's office.
So, Natalie Reed County Council, we'll work with the department on this because I know there are some limitations on exchange of information between the assessor's office and planning department when it comes to Williams and that contract. So we'll take a closer look at that.
Right. Yeah, and I'd be concerned because without our knowing, it could be changes in the tax base.
Right.
Associated with a lot of these. Thanks, Brenda. That's all I have.
Anything, Supervisor Holden?
Well, I guess it goes back to if it's already in the Williamson Act, whatever the taxes, even if it goes into agriculture.
Not if a nonprofit picks up the portion.
We were told, I think, by the assessor that the tax base stays the same, which is
it's
hard to believe.
It's kind of
right.
Strange how that happens. When you buy a new house, you're taxed on the new purchase price. Mm-hmm. But in the Williamson Act, it stays the same, and I don't understand that.
I didn't either, but that's what he told us.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that we would have to leave it up to the property owner's discretion to let us know.
Well, my point is it's a change in the contract.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It ought to be an automatic trigger that we're notified.
Right.
Of,
right.
Rather than us have to get up on a survey.
Yep.
Because I know how accurate they are.
Right. Yeah.
I mean.
Yep. Correct. Agreed.
Yeah, I'll leave it there.
To me, in my mind, and I appreciate where you guys are the discussion, but we have a finite amount of noise map contract decreasing over a period of time. It's more about getting the people that have the contracts to adhere to that, and we as a county should always be doing a reassessment at some point in time. Where are we, you know, whether it's a survey or making sure that people are being compliant. So, you know, as far as moving forward, I'm okay with where we're at, and I'll leave it at that.
I think it's page 6, item C, midway into that paragraph, you say, what is it here, contract does not meet acreage requirements, the board. I think you should spell out Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. I don't know that they'll know who that board is. You do through other pieces of it, but that's just kind of a correction. And then on page 22, cancellation, you indicate that only a property owner, not the county, may request cancellation of the Williamson Act. But yet we have
even today, we do a non-renewal. Is that the same as a cancellation or not?
No, a cancellation is an immediate cancellation of the contract, and that's where the county does not have the ability to do that.
Okay, that helps. And then with regard to... So subsidies for Williamson Act are general fund dollars, correct? Correct. It's in essence.
Property tax is general fund dollars.
Yes. No, I know. But how do we deal with, because this is going to come back to this tax-based thing for me, if you have a foreign investment firm that purchases property, are they... are they eligible for Williamson Act?
I don't know how we would know if it's a foreign investment firm. Most of the property, or many of the properties, are under an LLC. So the information that we have is this is property owner's name, and this is their mailing address, and that's who we contact. So to know who owns that LLC, I don't know if you're suggesting that we research who the property owners are and train.
I don't know, but we read more and more about foreign investment coming in and buying up ag lands in the United States. And so where I'm headed with this is I don't want to be subsidizing outside, you know, somebody that's just in it for investment. Williamson Act was, at least in my mind, brought into account for ag production locally, not so much from outside the United States.
Can I follow up on the comment?
Sure.
So it's been a while, but the last time I saw a list of where we have contracts, a third were limited liability and out-of-state owners of the property.
I can pretty much guarantee there's probably foreign ownership.
Yeah. And you're right, that was the intent was never for outside entities. It was for family-run operations, not big commercial operations, yet we are subsidizing a third of those people. And I don't know how you change that.
I don't either. I'm just bringing it up. This is the time to do it. So federal and state purchases of ag lands, how do we deal with those? Are they exempt from the Williamson Act, or do they, I mean, they don't pay property tax? Well, the state does in some form. But do they get to operate under the Williamson Act or not?
A property that has occurred on, basically, it basically goes, the contract goes away. They're not subject to it.
They're not eligible for the Williamson Act.
Right.
So that might be spelled out in this guideline as well, or is it?
It's under, on page 24, section 3.
24. I only got to 23. I don't have a 24.
Maybe I
don't
check it. It's the very last page. It's
23, part D.
D.
D. Okay. Right. So that eliminates them from the Williamson Act. Is that what that's telling me?
Yeah, the contract becomes void when it's acquired by
the
federal.
Good. I'm good there. So what about nonprofits that purchase ag lands in Siskiyou County? A lot of times it's state funding that purchases those lands, and we know of one that already went to state ownership eventually. So I think the idea is that the nonprofits continue to pay the property tax, but I guess the question is, are they eligible for Williamson as well? And I'll cite one property in particular that we know that's done this. The water allocation was changed, the ag use was changed, and eventually it became state ownership. But I guess where I'm headed with this is, again, it's not what I'll call an ag operation that's in it for commercial endeavor to make a profit. How do we deal with that?
So when property is exchanged, we get a list quarterly from the county assessor's office. We send the property owner a notification letter saying that they're obligated to maintain a commercial ag use on the property for their contract. We offer to provide additional information if they'd like it. If their property is a portion of a contract, we let them know they need to apply for their own contract. That's where we get into the details of if they have an ag use at that time. Then if we don't catch it at that point, if there's no need for them to do an ag preserve amendment, Williams Knapp contract amendment, at the survey point, which we send out every 2 years, they would come back with what their ag uses are. If there isn't one, we bring it to you for a non-renewal. Recently, the most recent nonprofit we brought to you was the Rescue Ranch. Mm-hmm. So that's the example that happened there. They did not have ag use, so we recommend a non-renewal. Non-renewal is the county's only pathway to get out of these contracts.
Okay, I'm just... My concern is that state dollars are, and federal dollars are used to buy private lands for basically fisheries, and I don't know how we begin to deal with that. Did I see a hand up, or which one do I want to go to first? Supervisor Halpin, then I'll come to you, Mr. Smith.
My first question is, why can't the county cancel a contract?
That's regulated by California government code.
I can answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simply
because the contract is a mutual agreement.
By state statute, by state statute, only owners can cancel. Cancel means the contract essentially gets canceled almost right away. They have to pay back taxes. I know I'm surprised too, but we can only non-renew contracts and amortize them out. But it's state law.
Who signed that deal?
Right. Well, they used to subsidize it, but no longer.
Yeah.
Now it's on us.
I know.
Go ahead.
And I guess I never got an answer from the assessor's office of whether or not NGOs pay property tax.
Well, in fairness, Nature Conservancy, that has purchased now two properties in the county, they do pay property tax. That, and they've committed to. That's
what's on their willfully doing, or is
it's they, well, I don't know if they're exempt from it or not.
Well, that's what I was asking.
But they do.
Yeah, and maybe we can find an answer to that. In my mind, there should be no exceptions. You own property, you pay taxes. They want to get around that of the federal government and the state government
and the churches.
I think they pay taxes.
They do it up into the portions that are not used. Once they use a certain amount of their footprint, that becomes non-taxable.
And again, churches and those entities are Williams and that entities. So,
anything further, Mr. Smith?
I just had two comments.
Go ahead. Stand up so we can hear you.
Noxious weed production that you find on these purchases that you're referring to is not allowed by the Williams and that, by the way. Second thing is previous experiences with the Nature Conservancy, beyond paying taxes, generally goes away in a few years. So you can't rely upon that to be a source of income. I just thought I'd mention that.
Well, I can only say in Siskiyou, they have. And
so far.
Yes, they've committed to that. The only problem we get into is when and if it turns over to the state, and then that we lose out.
Got that.
Or at least a significant portion. Lastly, how do we deal with in the Williamson Act with regard to, I'll call it, farm to fork promotion. Do we allow promotion? Trying to be neutral here, but somebody's raising sheep for lamb production, and they want somebody to come in and see how they operate. Is that allowed in the Williamson Act, or is that a different bailiwick that I don't even want to say the word?
So, under compatible uses, yeah, the word. So we do have, trying to see where that might land in there.
I'm not going there.
Oh, yeah, under 12, so where we took out the language regarding agritourism, because it's not in our code,
right.
We changed it to agricultural education programs, promotional events, and activities.
So that works. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
However, again, since we're talking about it, people need to know that if it's not allowed by right under their zoning, they may need to get a use permit, which is... So just because it's allowed under the Williams Act contract doesn't mean it's necessarily allowed.
Can you give me a small example of that, what that would look like?
A use permit for
What would trigger the use permit?
An event venue, for example, just something that's you know, common, that does occur. We actually have one applied for now that's on Williams Act property, so they define that their portion of the property that they want to use for an event venue is not an area that's used for any ag uses. They've provided maps and they've detailed how many guests they'd like to have on which days during the year. And so it goes to the Ag Preserve Administrator for review to determine that it's a compatible use under 14 of compatible uses on page 11. Once that determination's made, then it goes to the Planning Commission for their standard review and consideration for that use permit.
Okay. Okay. Anything further? And we're going to continue this. How far out do you want?
I know your schedule.
It doesn't matter.
So I would request an actual date that would help.
You want November? You want October? What?
We could do... I feel like you've given me plenty of direction, so I am able to do this in whatever time frame works for you.
Why don't we go for the first meeting in November?
Well, the only
meeting.
The only one, I'm sorry. And the only reason I want to give it a little more time is I'd sure like to hear from some of the organizations within the county. I appreciate Ag Commissioner voicing support today, but I'd sure like to hear from Farm Bureau, maybe cattlemen, you know, and maybe there's no comment. Maybe this is all fine, but I don't want to get this in place, even though we can change it, and then afterwards there's the cause and effect of something we missed or we shouldn't have done. So I want to give it some time if that's...
I'm okay with setting whatever. To me, we've given plenty of time, so...
I get it.
And so, you know, when we said something, then we did all we could. And I'll suffer the consequences of, so. But it is the opportunity for them to get the comments, you know, so I'm grateful for that.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to go to whatever meeting
November
we have in
12th,
November.
Correct.
The one meeting in November is the 12th.
Oh.
Yeah.
11th, 12th.
And it'll be a public hearing.
Correct. It'll
this
be a continued public hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, I'm seeing that we're going into closed session. Unless I missed something.
Nope. Looks like mine is all. My folder is empty.
Okay.